sports, politics, life, Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
If we're fans of one thing over everything else, it probably has to do with free speech. I love freedom of speech, and even more than that, as a sportscaster or journalist for all these years, I have loved it when people actually say things. It's my favorite part of the job, especially when they say things that make it appear they put their foot in their mouth. I'm just entertained by it nonstop, and we've got a couple of great cases to start this podcast today of that happening over the last couple of days. The first involves, and it's not as big a deal as the second one. The second one really set me off. It is Jack Nicklaus at the Memorial talking about golf. But the first is Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, who made $4 million last year and will make $6 million this season as he's taken a raise after a year where people thought he might get fired and think he could be fired after this year. There's so much money in college athletics, so much money being paid to coaches. Coaches with pretty thin resumes, to be quite honest about it, who just keep programs in that bowl game range. You know, if you can win your non-conference games, pick off two or three wins in your conference, you get into a bowl game, that you're really no threat to win anything, but you're able to go to a postseason bowl game. And of course, there's a million bowl games now, so coaches are paid millions of dollars just to go out somehow and win seven games and go to a bowl game. I think Eli Drinkwitz is in that category right now. I had really high hopes for him when he got there. I'm certainly not giving up on him, but I don't really see a pathway for Missouri to break free in their division in the SEC and become a real player there, competing for the division title and a chance to win or play in the championship game. I just don't view Missouri under Eli Drinkwitz that way. You can disagree with that. You can argue that. You can think that whatever. Obviously, Georgia's in the way, but there are other programs that have had success and look maybe like they're even up and coming a little bit more in Missouri's division. I just think it's a really hard thing. I stand by what I said years ago. Missouri shouldn't have left. They should be in the Big 12. If the Big 12's expanding, they should be looking at coming back to the Big 12 for the fans, for competitive reasons, not because it would be worth more money. No, but I never understood why fans have ever cared about money. Okay, what do you care what the budget is of Mizzou athletics? Don't you just want them to win football and basketball games? And if there's a better way to win football and basketball games than what you're doing, wouldn't you do that? Apparently not. I have yet to meet a Nebraska fan in the last 5 years that thought it was a good idea that they left and went and did to their football program what they did. Yes, they make more money than they did in the Big 12, and they're completely irrelevant. And it can't be much fun to be a Nebraska season ticket holder if you're of a certain age and remember the days where they were in contention for the national title every single year. But I digress. That's a topic for a different day. Eli Drinkwitz has said something you probably know about. And there isn't much for me to add here other than I'm going to take the side of this isn't as big a deal as people are making it, but it doesn't help his program. Eli Drinkwitz makes $4 million, or did last year, will make $6 million this year, and he put out a tweet and was making a comment that players through NIL now in college athletics make more than Eli Drinkwitz's pediatrician's, Eli Drinkwitz's brother-in-law, who's a pediatrician. And he went on to say, quote, he saves lives, unquote. We've heard this before. I've heard him make this analogy before about money and doctors and things like that. And I understand completely where he's coming from. I get it. He's the wrong vessel. You can't be the person complaining about the kids making the money when you make $6 million and have won nothing. Honestly, this is all just a reflection of, I say it all the time, big-time athletics, and I'm not talking about the WNBA because you can make more money now as a college player, a female college player, you can make more money. And there are examples of girls in college making more money staying in college than playing in the WNBA. And I think it could be coming for a lot of NBA players who are not really NBA players. They're fringe players, second-round draft choices. Will you make a team? Won't you? You can make $1 million by staying in college. I think there's going to be a lot of that. So wherever the money is, it's not the real world. There's just no question about it. This isn't the real world. They have entire staffs of dozens of people who go around and court hundreds, if in some cases not thousands, of donors at these schools who are wealthy and simply say, you love your school, give money, we'll have a better chance of winning. Well, the difference between paying Eli Drinkwitz $4 million last year or $6 million this year has nothing to do with winning. Nothing. I can think of no reason why Eli Drinkwitz got a $2 million raise this year. I cannot think of one. Not a single reason. And if some other school courted him away, would that be the end of the world for Missouri? Or could you maybe go out and find somebody just as good, if not better? It's a legitimate question. They're paying big money to Chris Klieman at Kansas State. Not Eli Drinkwitz money. But he's clearly with an athletic director that he's good friends with and has decided this is their place. They're going to run this out at K-State, whatever that is. They're not chasing the most money they can make, that there's so much stupid money in college athletics that they're both getting rich and they know it and they love their positions and they love what they're able to do at Kansas State. I get that. I get all that. But just paying somebody to pay them is a reflection that it's not the real world, that you don't work in the real world. So if you're the beneficiary of that, like Eli Drinkwitz, and you get a $2 million raise or 50% raise for very little reason that I can see. I can't see it really, but he got it. You can't complain about what your players are making through NIL and compare them to your brother-in-law and say they make more than my brother-in-law who's a doctor and he saves lives. You're the wrong person for that. You're just the wrong person. If you want to be in the media and criticize it, knock yourself out. If you want to get into politics, run for office in the state of Missouri and try to change the laws, knock yourself out. You coach in a state where they passed laws before almost any other state for any other school to open up these consortiums and different groups that can help you pay your players to win games. He should be thanking everyone in the state of Missouri for creating an NIL environment that he can use to his advantage. Instead, he's complaining about it. Again, I'm not necessarily arguing his point. I can't sit here and tell you that it makes any sense for a college football player to make more money than a pediatrician that saves lives. I can't. But I also can't make any kind of an argument for Eli Drinkwitz to get the raise that he got, other than these schools are flush with cash. I sent 3 kids to college. I used to send the obligatory check every month to the athletic department. I used to have season tickets. I bought all those things. I can't do it anymore. I can't. I'll go to games. I can buy tickets to individual games. I can do all that. I can no longer justify it because I can't make a difference. There is nothing I can do. If I wanted to donate to Kansas State or Georgia, my kids' schools, there's nothing I can do to affect anything. All I'm doing is throwing another straw of hay on the bale. That's all I'm doing. That's all I can do. And I got buddies who spend thousands and thousands of dollars a year, and this just in, they ain't helping either. Because the big money is some dude on a hedge fund that they go squeeze $20 million out of and name something or not name something. A lot of people do this privately as well. Because they have $3 billion. Sure, you need $25 million? Here you go. Oh, you want to build a new building for the business school? Sure. You want to do an add-on to the stadium? How much you need? $40 million? Okay. And that's great that those people do that, and it's awesome that there's billionaires in the world, and this is happening at pretty much every single school. But when that happens, you can't really complain about the players making the money. My argument has been, if you want to get money out of me again, the way I would write checks and give money, I'd do it directly to pay players. I think you might be able to make a difference. You might be able to find some kid that, let's use Missouri for example. Let's say some kid plays in Lee Summit, and he's got some offers to play, full scholarship or something to Missouri Southern or Northwest Missouri State, and they win every year, and you get a full ride in the whole deal. And you think this kid might be a good player in a couple of years in your program. I don't even know how to describe. He's a slot receiver. You got a slot receiver in Lee Summit that can go to Northwest Missouri and get a free college education, and you're Mizzou, and you can't really, he's not your big time SEC recruit, but you think, boy, in-state kid, he's got a 4.0 GPA. This might be one we could bring in. and really turn into a player in a couple of years. If nothing else, he becomes that special teams player that's always contributing or doing something great. What if you drummed up enough money just to cover that kid going to Mizzou instead of Northwest Missouri State? Just enough to pay for his college education, because there's no scholarship for him. Missouri could maybe offer him a gray shirt or one of those things or something like that. And if you had enough money, you said, here you go for the family. Send him to Mizzou, not Northwest Missouri. We think he could be a player in the program, but he doesn't really rate out right now at age 18 as some big-time SEC recruit, but we want him in the program. I feel like most of us could help that way. And sometimes that can really help a program. We all see programs, even the big programs, Bama and Georgia, with former walk-ons becoming starting quarterbacks and things like that. It happens. It's possible. Depth on the roster is a big deal. It's going to be a handful of players every year making all the big money at these programs. Building depth on the roster is something that a lot of upper middle class donors could probably help with. I'd look at that. I'd certainly look at that and say, does this make a difference? But Eli Drinkwitz is, he's not a bad person for saying this. I understand what he's saying. But it would have been nice if along with that he would have said, and by the way, my raise is ridiculous. That's the context that was really needed here. We won't disagree that you don't live in the real world. Nobody's going to argue that. Eli Drinkwitz's point is, we don't live in the real world anymore. He's right. He does not. He's going to wind up making what? By the time it's all said and done, $25 million more than that, $30-some million dollars coaching football at Missouri. And we'll look back on his era, and what will we say was the highlight? I can't name it for you right now. What's his greatest moment? It's a hard thing for me to answer, but he's going to wind up making tens of millions of dollars at the University of Missouri, and he probably won't have one shining moment. He probably won't. That's the percentages of the thing. So yes, we agree. You don't live in the real world, and paying the players this kind of money isn't the real world. And pediatricians should make more because they save lives and help children. Agreed. We all agree. Sports is wacky. We're cool with you there. We're cool with you there. Another person is this one really angers me. This one's under the category of somebody needs to take this iconic figure and take the microphone away and say, you're not the person to talk about this anymore. You're out of touch. You're too old. Stay away. Close your mouth. We love you. We want to remember you for the great competitor you were, but you really shouldn't be commenting on this right now because you hear these stories about a person says one thing and then they say another thing that contradicts that. It is pretty rare when they say a third thing that contradicts the second thing. It's just unbelievable. Jack Nicklaus is all over the place this week. He is the tournament host of the Memorial, which, by the way, is, as far as I'm concerned now, it's stolen valor. Calling your tournament the Memorial, which for years was on Memorial Day weekend, but for television ratings, for TV ratings, you've moved your Memorial tournament until the week after Memorial Day, so more people will watch on TV. First of all, you're coming up from a place that's disingenuous. Rename your tournament or play it on Memorial Day weekend. I don't care which. I'm serious. This tournament for years to me has felt like stolen valor. You just don't do it. Too many people have died in this country and given their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy and protecting our liberties. And you had a golf tournament on Memorial Day weekend, and I understand why you named it what you named it. But when you moved it for TV, change the name. This Sunday, today is Wednesday. On Sunday, somebody is going to win the Memorial in Ohio. Jack Nicklaus's tournament on Sunday. It's absurd on its face, the whole thing. Jack Nicklaus, this is all just so absurd. So Nicklaus is the host of the tournament. And if you don't follow golf, the legendary best of the best players get kind of their own tournament after they're done playing. Tiger Woods has a tournament. It's a big deal. So this is one of those tournaments the tour has said all the best players have to be there. It's a required tournament. Unless you're injured, you have to go play in it. So it's the best field the PGA Tour can put together. They're doing about a dozen of these this year where all the good players have to be there. So Nicklaus has a news conference and he says, quote, They're all here. And he just opened the floodgates for people to start asking the questions because Brooks Koepka's not there and Cam Smith isn't there. That's two of the last four major winners. They're off playing on the LIV Tour. And Jack then says, quote, "I don't even consider those guys part of the game anymore," unquote. Here's how crazy this old man is. In the 1980s, this old man got together with Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson, Raymond Floyd, and others. We talked about it on the podcast. And my very good friend, Jim Colbert, who was on the PGA Tour Players Board of Directors with Dean Beaman, the commissioner, and a handful of other people, were fighting off an all-out assault by Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus to go rogue and go start their own tour and play their own events outside the PGA Tour. This was in the 1980s. Nicklaus, Palmer, Watson, Ray Floyd were all feeling like, we're not making enough money here. People are coming to see us. They're following us. And there's players all over this course that nobody's watching. And they're certainly not getting TV ratings. And so they had an agreement between themselves to go start their own thing. Colbert, Dean Beaman, the people on the PGA Tour board, eventually, Colbert, on a jet airplane, Nicklaus's jet, handed him a contract that Nicklaus had signed, that each player signs every year as part of basically being in the union. You're part of the PGA Tour. You sign these things. And he said, here's the disclaimer on this. This is what you've signed away for the PGA Tour to do. Your signature's on it. You're going to be tied up in court for so long, you won't even be able to play golf, and you won't be allowed to be playing out here. Nicklaus didn't know any of this. He was just hearing from their agents and the sports apparel companies that you can make a lot more if you just leave the PGA Tour. We'll take you best players out on your own and start our own thing. And Nicklaus realized after several weeks of threatening to leave and starting their own, they had a charter between them and an agreement between them. They were going to leave and go do it a certain way. After doing all that, he realized they were in legal jeopardy. They had real problems legally to go do it. And it was stopped. And Nicklaus did not lead a revolt away from the PGA Tour to start his own tour. And now today, he knows that nobody really remembers that, that he was the guy that wanted to leave the PGA Tour. He won all those tournaments, all those majors, and all he's trying to do is protect that. That these are the tournaments that matter because these are the ones I won. He then says, quote, "I pretty much started what the PGA Tour is." Okay. All right, that's disrespectful to Arnold Palmer, but there is some truth to it. You just don't say it. This isn't something you can say. You tried to have a revolution. You were stopped. Now you're running your own tournament saying everybody's here. Then he was asked if would you invite Brooks Koepka, Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, would you invite them to play in the Memorial? And he says, it's not up to me. That's out of my hands. This is a chicken spit man is what he's become. He has no idea what to say. He's trying to say the right things and can't. It's Biden-esque. He is flat out all over the place. Then they continue asking questions about him and Brooks Koepka. And he said, oh, I sent him a handwritten note after he won the PGA last week or 2 weeks ago. I sent him a note. Nicklaus says, I sent him a congratulatory note as a fellow competitor who has five major championships. He sent him a note. He sent him a note. Nicklaus has 17. Koepka has five. Five is a real thing, man. You get to five majors, you're in a special club. Nicklaus, Watson, Palmer, all these guys would welcome you in. Gary Player, all welcome you in. You're not quite to their level yet, but you're in a club. Tiger recognizes five by Brooks Koepka is phenomenal. So Nicklaus recognizes this and privately sends a handwritten note, which I'm sure Brooks Koepka will cherish the rest of his life, to receive that note from Jack Nicklaus after winning his fifth major. Then Nicklaus, in front of an open mic, says, I don't even consider him part of the game anymore. Not part of the tour. He didn't say, I don't consider them part of the PGA Tour. He said, I don't consider them part of the game anymore. What the hell is that? You just sent him a note for winning the PGA. Man, Nicklaus is a hot mess. I was a fan of Nicklaus. I've been around him. I caddied in a group. I caddied for Jim Colbert down in Branson, and Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus were in the group, and he was a nice gentleman, respectful. But Nicklaus is a little prickly. There's only one way to say it, and it happens When you, it happens in sports all the time. When you're the greatest there ever was, you can't, it's hard to say. It's almost impossible not to be a prick in some way, or just think you're special or better than everyone, because you are better than everyone. You were better than anyone on the planet for 30 years with a golf club in their hand. That's not being the best brain surgeon, but it's a pretty big deal. So I kind of get it. And now here he is. I don't know what he's trying to say here. He says they're all here. He doesn't see Brooks Koepka as part of the game anymore, but he sent Brooks Koepka a note and congratulated him. And then goes on to say, I pretty much started this tour. Like, you need that recognition on top of everything else? You want people to recognize you today as the guy who basically made the PGA Tour? People know this about you, Jack. They know your greatness. I want you to go to the Masters. Here's what I would challenge Jack. If I were in that news conference, my follow-up question would have been this. So, since you don't consider them part of the game anymore, will you be willing to tell Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, and Bubba Watson at next year's Masters dinner, when you're all sitting down at the table eating together, would you be willing to tell them face-to-face you don't see them as part of the game anymore? In your elite club of Masters champions dinner on Tuesday night before the Masters, will you look them in the eye and tell them you don't think they're part of the game anymore? That's what I want to hear. I think somebody in the Nicklaus family needs to take the microphone away, because it's a hot topic and Jack doesn't know what he's saying. The point here is he's lost on this one. Tried to play it three different ways, and yes, it's got me riled up. KKHI is brought to you by Meanies Galleria. Outdoor furniture, game room consoles, pinball, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard. We have so much fun with my shuffleboard table here at the house. They've also got hot tubs and saunas. They have area rugs, furniture, bar stools. Man, you want bar stools for your basement? This is the best place in Kansas City to go. They're also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. When you go to Amini's, please mention the podcast. Let them know that you listen and you love their products like we love their products. Right now, they're offering 60 months, no interest at Amini's Galleria. You got 5 years to pay for whatever you buy with 0% interest. 105th and Metcalf online at aminis.com. MyPillow. Folks, if you're tossing and turning and you're getting hot as it heats up in the summertime, the MyPillow 2.0 has a new cover on it that is cooling, and you don't have to turn the pillow to the other side to get the cool side. It stays cool all night long. It really is a tremendous upgrade of the MyPillow, and if you haven't slept with the MyPillow, you're going to love it. The filling they have in there is just great, and it doesn't really wear out. These things last forever. You can completely wash them. They're made in America. It's a very comfortable pillow, and the new cover on the outside of the 2.0 is kind of a game changer, especially in summertime as it starts to warm up. If you go to MyPillow.com, please use the promo code KKHI, or just call them at 800-923-9034. That's 800-923-9034. You can also buy products, services at MyStore.com. This is where conservatives go. We've talked a great deal about these boycotts that are going on. We're going to have more on that on this podcast in a bit. But if you want to shop where conservatives shop, we have the KK List, which helps you out here locally. TheKKList.com. That's our startup. Okay, we got lots of, if you want your business to be listed on there, go to the KK List, click on join the list, and we'll set you up. We want all the conservative businesses in our area that we can get at the KK List. Well, Mike Lindell has done that with MyPillow, with MyStore.com. And those are all conservative businesses there. So if you're wanting to spend your dollars with conservative businesses, check out MyStore.com. Don't forget the promo code KKHI. Same deal. KKHI is your promo code. MyPillow and MyStore.com. Cross Kitchens KC. He's getting ready to wrap up the project over at my buddy's house. Doesn't live too far from me. This was a massive project he did. We always say he does big jobs and small jobs. I haven't been over there to see it because I kind of haven't been invited. You know, some folks don't want you to see their stuff while it's going on because the house can, you know, be a little distracting or whatever. I think that I talked to Tim last Saturday and he said, this is just going to be amazing. This is not the average job. You know, the average jobs can be done in 2 weeks or less. This is not, this is bigger than that. He can do a complete remodel. This is a larger house. And the entire downstairs man cave, which includes a bar, a bathroom, a great area, a poker table area, and a bedroom. And this is a big, and the steps and everything that come down that, as I understand it, they're basically redoing all of it. Be a whole new bottom level to the house. Cross Kitchens KC can do that for you. It's exciting. It is. It's exciting to change things up, modernize them, get them just the way you want. Or if it's a very small job, you just want new countertops in the kitchen, they'll do that for you as well. CrossKitchensKC.com. Clayton Kershaw is a pitcher, a great pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he has announced this week, Christian Faith and Family Day at Dodger Stadium, July 30th. Clayton Kershaw was asked if the announcement and the timing of the announcement had anything to do with the Sisters of Indulgence being allowed back in by the Dodgers. And he says, yes, it is in response to the Sisters of Indulgence. We have had a Christian Faith and Family Day at Dodger Stadium before, but COVID stopped it. We were starting it back up. We wanted it to be bigger and better. We were still planning it and didn't want to announce it yet, but we knew we were going to do it and get it done. It was going to happen this year. And we just decided right now is the time to move the chess pieces on the board and say, yeah, we're going to do this. He did not badmouth the Sisters of Indulgence, but his actions speak louder than his words. He has said, we're going to have Christian Faith and Family Day at Dodger Stadium. It's being hailed by players all over the league. There are some Catholic players speaking out that do not play for the Dodgers, against the Dodgers. Again, this is not about taking away a Pride night. That's not what this is. The Sisters of Indulgence are clearly a group that mocks Catholics. It's a hate group that mocks Catholics. That's what this is. They dress up almost like clowny-looking people. They're men dressed as nuns that look like clowns. And they refer to these men refer to themselves as the Sisters of Indulgence. It is insulting to Catholics everywhere. It just is. It just is. It's not the end of the world for me. I just think it's stupid the Dodgers are allowing them in. It's a very small group of all the pride groups that are coming in. It's a very small group. But they're crazy. And Clayton Kershaw has said, we're going to have Christian Faith and Family Day at Dodger Stadium. And it is in response to the Dodgers allowing Sisters of Indulgence back in, which is happening here in just a couple of weeks. So we'll see how that plays out. Another pitcher in baseball is making news this week for something completely different. He is Arizona Diamondbacks ace Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen's amazing. He mowed the Royals down a few weeks ago. I mean, mowed them down. He's got a home streak. I think they call that Chase Field there in Phoenix, maybe. A home streak going on that's sick. 12 starts at home in Phoenix. 12 starts. Zach Gallen is the first pitcher in 105 years to have 10-plus wins and an ERA and a whip, that's walks and hits per innings pitched, below 0.70. A 12-game home streak. The last pitcher to do that in baseball was 105 years ago, Walter Johnson. What? Zach Gallen is a freak. He's still got a couple years of arbitration, so he can't hit the big time yet, but I think if I'm here, this is an interesting one, because if your pitchers can blow their arms out in a heartbeat, if they go offer him like $150 million over a certain number of years right now to take away some free agency years, I'd sign that in a heartbeat if I'm him. I just would. Everybody used to make fun of Salvador Perez for signing his contract with the Royals. I think he signed something like 6 years, $21 million, way before he was going to be a free agent. I'm like, dude came from war-torn Venezuela without a pot to piss in, and you're bad-mouthing him for taking $21 million and making sure that his family's lives are forever changed. The Royals tore that contract up a couple years later and wrote him a bigger, fatter one. They just did. That's what they did. They didn't have to. They just did it. They might do the same thing here with Zach Gallen, but pitchers are an entirely different breed. One pitch can end your career. One pitch. If I'm Zach Gallen, I'm taking whatever they're offering long term. I'm going to go get that money right now and just see where it takes me. I don't need the biggest contract. I just don't want to have these arbitration things the next couple of years. All those arbitration numbers would be big. Clearly, with the stats he's putting up, he'd be getting big money in arbitration. So agents always try to talk players out of signing a deal. Agents always want their players just to get to free agency as fast as they can. That's what they always want because the agents aren't really risking as much. They're playing a numbers game. If all their players go to free agency, very few of them are going to get hurt before that. But man, with pitchers, I just think you're running a really, really, really large risk. The Royals have 2 days off. How weird is that? You ever remember that? Royals lost to the Cardinals on Tuesday night. A well-played game. Greinke pitched well. And they split the two-game series in St. Louis. They got the Rockies coming in this weekend. They got 2 days off. It works out fine because it's pouring today, so I guess that's okay. But I just don't remember 2 days off like this. That's a very interesting deal for the Royals to have. They're not the worst team in baseball. The Oakland A's are, and the Oakland A's will be our final later in the podcast. But I got to save that. We got news to talk about as well. So I have to save the final, which is, yes, the headline is the A's are worse than the Royals, but what happened there in Oakland is pretty darn funny. All right, we'll switch it up to news brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. This is a custom home builder, commercial properties, complete room additions onto your home. He's got a great portfolio. TJ's work can be seen at the website, back9development.com. And if you're an investor in real estate or have a project in mind and want to meet with somebody and see if your ideals match up with TJ's, just give TJ a call at 785-236-0161. He does commercial properties. His condominiums, the Solheim at Grandmere, sold out in a very short period of time on the Corbett Hills Golf Course. That was a tremendous project he put together and built some wonderful high-end condos and sold those out. If you've got land or an idea or been thinking about condos downtown near where the Royals may be building a ballpark eventually or something like that, call TJ. Even if you're just at the dreaming stage, give him a call. 785-236-0161. It's back9development.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty. They don't charge you for the lifetime warranty at Roberts Robinson. They just honor it. They also have a $100 rebate right now on a set of four tires. You need to get some new kicks on the wheels there before you go off on a big summer vacation somewhere. Think Roberts Robinson. They'd love to service your car. I know a lot of you hear this and say, we sure like using your sponsors. Well, they'll service your car for you. They'll pick it up, take it to the dealership, service it, and return it to you. If you're at work or busy or whatever, they'll do that for you. Sometimes just for routine maintenance. They'd love to be your concierge General Motors dealer, and they'll service your cars even if they're not GM. 816-826-1563. That's 816-826-1563, online at robertsrobinson.com. Tickets for Less is online at ticketsforless.com. 913-685-3322 is the phone number. Better Business Bureau rated, no fees ever. Local company now that provides nationwide service and has over 90 employees. They started with 4. You want to go see a Chiefs game this year? Chiefs tickets are on sale. They are discounted this week. $25 off on most Chiefs tickets on the website right now. Call for details. This is a phone call on the discount for Chiefs tickets. Phone call 913-685-3322. Tell them you heard about it on KKHI and you want to know about the $25 off each Chiefs ticket that you buy. It's a great promotion they're running this week. 913-685-3322. If you're buying anything online, Taylor Swift, Luke Combs, Billy Joel, ticketsforless.com's promo code is KKHI. We love them for that. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control is the only pest control company we've ever used. Many of you have called them and said the same thing. I get emails from you and you say, you're so right. The technicians that come are so sweet and honest and do such a great job. They're really an exceptional company. AdvantageTPC.com is where you find them online. That's Advantage Termite Pest Control. Advantage Termite Pest Control, Advantage TPC. Or call Aaron and his team, his family, at 913-768-8989 for Advantage Termite and Pest Control, the only company you need. All right, the campaign is, I guess, is heating up. DeSantis and Trump are like dueling in Iowa this week. They've each got three appearances or something in Iowa. Trump's going to do a town hall tomorrow night. DeSantis gave a big speech. It's going to shape up as the news cycle will be, what did Trump say today? What did DeSantis say today? There is, however, on the left, something really interesting happening, and I'll take it that most of you don't watch CNN or MSNBC or a lot of left-leaning sites. They have now decided on the left that their way of discrediting DeSantis is he is, quote, more dangerous, unquote, than Donald Trump. That's right. That's their way of going after DeSantis. He is more dangerous than Trump. That's all they have on the guy. That really is all they have. So clearly it's, I don't call people liars. It's not a lie. It's just the whole thing is a lie. Neither one of them is dangerous for America. They're both good for America. There's nothing dangerous about them. There's nothing dangerous. In fact, you want to see America be a less dangerous place? Elect one of these two men. Watch America get safer instantly. Like, it's literally wrong. It's factually wrong to say it's more dangerous than Trump. That's just factually wrong. But it's all they have. And sometimes, you know, I know why the left does this. All right, Trump is better for their ratings, the media outlets, so they're rooting for Trump, and Trump has a better chance of losing the general election than DeSantis. Everybody knows this. So they're painting Trump, DeSantis, as more dangerous than Trump. But they're so stupid sometimes, what they don't know is all that is at this point in a primary with conservative voters is a compliment to Ron DeSantis. That's all that is a compliment. They don't seem to know that they're doing that. Trump still has a wide lead in pretty much every spot. And here is how, I don't think it's going to be these court cases or Alvin Bragg or any of these things going to bring Trump down. I think that hardens his voters on the right. Let me tell you what can peel away Trump voters. And I'm considering myself at this point a Trump voter. I've voted for him twice. I'd vote for him today. I do not like what he said on Tuesday. I don't. It's not that it's offensive to me. I don't get offended easily. It's not that it's offensive. My mom still brings up the John McCain thing, that she doesn't like Trump because he made fun of McCain, who was a hero. But this one really bothers me. It doesn't offend me, but it bothers me. This is a self-inflicted mistake, and I'm sorry. Even the most loyal Trump voters couldn't possibly have liked this. And a few more of these, and it just chips away at them. And they go, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe these people are right. Maybe the people that say that he says too much, they're right. Trump called Kayleigh McEnany, who was nothing but great for him and loyal to him and worked for him. And if I'm not mistaken, I think she had cancer. And Kayleigh McEnany has just been great. And she's on Fox News now. And she gave some polling data that said Trump was leading by 25 points over DeSantis in some state when I guess the actual number is 34. There was an adjusted number. The poll came back a few days later and adjusted a number or something. It's just tit for tat. That's all we're talking about. Either way, it's a big lead. He goes on Truth Social and he calls Kayleigh McEnany milquetoast and says, we don't need rhinos like her anyway. Trump voters love Kayleigh McEnany. I know because I'm one of them. I think the world of her. I think she served our country great. I think she served her president great. I almost always hear her saying good things about him. I don't know how this can even happen. Like he gets so mad at, like, he's having his lunch or something and he's watching TV and he sees her say something and then he just has to fire something off and call her a name. Maybe there's more to this story. Maybe she's milquetoast. Maybe she's a rhino. Maybe we learn all that. But you know what? Trump primary voters don't want to hear that. They don't. It's not changing my vote. It's not. It's not changing my vote. But a few more of these on somebody like her, like what do you figure her popularity rating is with conservatives? With any Republican primary voter? 100? Is Kayleigh McEnany's popular? Oh, nothing's 100. 95? That's just not, this is how DeSantis gains. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be DeSantis saying something. It's going to be Trump doing too much. Man, I think if I were him, at this point, I just go out and give my rally speeches every night because the people show up. They're raucous. They're fun. They're wild. Cut out the insults. Inner party. The sanctimonious, he's staying with that. He's doubling down on it, calling Ron DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonious over and over and over. I don't know how that works. But I do know this. Trump voters are hard as steel, man. They're hard as steel. They're loyal as can be, and they don't want to go anywhere. It will have to be a chip away kind of thing. A lot of people talk about Bud Light, Target, Disney. Now Kohl's is in trouble for stuff that they've done, and conservatives organizing, boycotting these companies, making a huge difference. I had a back and forth text exchange with a friend yesterday who's sort of in the industry and investing and whatnot, financial. And we talked about ESG, which isn't discussed very much here because it's very in-depth. There's legislation pending, or the Republicans want to put legislation in that it is against the law for investors to represent people based on ESG. ESG is environmental, social, and governance corporations for companies. This would be Anheuser-Busch, Disney Corporation, Target. And ESG is something they came up with on Wall Street where they give you a rating and a score by how good your company is with environmental issues, social issues, and corporate governance. But all of these things are leftist. So when you say social, you get a low score for being Christian. You get a high score for being pro-pride. So there, it's all completely misleading. So I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole because it's so confusing. But you've heard of BlackRock or some of these investment firms. They have ratings on these companies on how well they do with leftist causes. They have a scale. And if you rate well, they put pension money. They buy your stock with pension money. They buy your stock, which makes your stock price goes up, which benefits the CEO and the shareholders and all these people. It has nothing to do with the consumer. Capitalism, as I was taught, was based on the consumer. The customer will tell you if you're right or wrong. Capitalism will work or not work based on the consumer. ESG takes that away. It says we have hedge funds, we have large pensions. We just saw Canada make a $100 billion buy of some stock or something in a pension. And they're going to do this based, these people want to spend these billions and billions of dollars on companies with high ESG scores. And it has been thought, it's been going on only for about a decade. And the companies have been thinking, well, there's nothing to lose here. Let's have a high ESG score. It can only be good for our stock price. It was considered a zero-sum game that there's nothing neutral. There's nothing negative here. This is all positive. If we implement these things in our corporation, these Wall Street firms like BlackRock and whatever will buy our stock. Our stock will go up. This will be good for us. That's why these companies have been pushing these things. Because there's never been a negative reason to not do it until now. And that's where we are. And Kohl's may be the latest to find out. We've got to take these companies back as consumers. Now there's a downside to playing the ESG game. Democrats want to pass laws that companies have to meet certain ESG standards in order to be on the stock exchange or whatever. Republicans want to pass a law that says you cannot, like, my investment guy's a fiduciary. Everything that he puts me in or whatever, he's doing in my best interest, not his. That's the law. That's like a doctor. You go to a doctor, he's got a Hippocratic oath and a responsibility to you to treat you fairly and as best he can to make you healthy and keep you alive. That's just, these are covenants that you just don't break. ESG breaks the covenant of a fiduciary. They're no longer investing in what's best for me. They're investing in companies on their own behalf because of their leftist issues and things that they're pushing a leftist agenda, and this is all driving that. So we did kind of go down the rabbit hole here, but it's amazing to see the blowback on all this and what has happened. It's been so fun to watch with these companies, and I think if I'm one of these companies, I'm just getting to a point where I don't care about my ESG score. We're not in on any of this. We're just out. If you don't like the way our company's profit margin looks, don't buy our stock. I don't need you to know what it is that we're doing here. And we literally see brilliant historic Americans like Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, the CEO of Nike, who's a Republican, and he's been running one of the most left-leaning companies forever against his own principles and thoughts. He's been doing it to appease Wall Street and for the share prices to keep going up and up and up, because when it keeps going up and up and up, he makes more and more money. They'll all do it. Even a conservative CEO will run his company into the ground on the left if he thinks that will make the stock price go up because of investors on Wall Street. That's what's going on in America. That's why these boycotts are so important. And they need to stick. Boycott Target is a new rap song by Jimmy Levy and Forjato Blow. I don't know who these rappers are. I've seen the video. The video is spectacular. They literally wrote the song, recorded it, went and shot the video at a Target store, in the aisles, by the Target dog, out front, the whole deal. Boycott Target is the name of the song. I play it for you here, but I'm not sure you'd really like it. It's not dirty, but it is rap. It's just, it's not, it's really good. And it's number one on iTunes. It just bumped Taylor Swift out of number one. There is no way to describe how impactful that is. Do you know who's hitting the play button to make Boycott Target number one on iTunes? The overwhelming majority of people are under the age of 30. These are young Republicans doing this. Anyway, this rap group, Jimmy Levy and Forjato Blow, are conservatives. They're MAGA dudes in Florida. They're having a rally this week. They're going to play the song and have a rally on Thursday in Miami. They're rallying up all these young rap fans that are conservative, that don't like all this stuff, and Boycott Target is your number one song at iTunes in the United States right now. That's pretty cool. So there is a lot going on that front, and I love it. There's an outfit out there called Retraction Watch. I don't know. I've never heard of Retraction Watch until this week, but it's like, remember we had the guys on from the White Coat Project with the dogs that Fauci was killing? Fauci was just killing dog beagles all over America. Fauci was killing beagles. The White Coat Project is, they monitor people who wear white coats in a lab for a living. Like, don't be harming us. Don't be releasing some virus that's going to kill a bunch of people. Don't be killing these dogs. It's a watch group, and they're really good. Well, this one is called Retraction Watch. And all they do, this is fantastic. Because what is it? When you retract something and you're in science, what you're really hoping is that nobody knows you did it. You made a mistake. You were wrong. Now you retract it. Everybody's done it. American Journal of Medicine has done it. New England Journal, all these things. Universities, everybody has to retract something at some point. It's okay. We're trying to be our best. When we're wrong, please retract it and get it out of there. Many of these had to do with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and some of these other things. Retraction Watch has put out a paper this week that over 300 COVID-19 medical papers in various journals and colleges around the world have now retracted what they wrote. Now, that's a pretty big deal. I got to do a little more research on this. But that's a pretty big story, don't you think? Don't you think that's a story that everybody should hear? Because everybody heard their initial reports. Everybody remembers their rules. Everybody remembers all these different things they did to us. But what about the retraction 3 or 4 years later? Oh, we were wrong. Many of these were on, focus on and center on how you can treat COVID-19, not as a vaccine or to get rid of it or keep from transmitting it. This is just when you're sick. They were wrong about ivermectin, and they were wrong because it wasn't horse stuff. It was human stuff. And they were wrong about hydroxychloroquine, which is what Trump took when he got COVID, right? And this whole thing's just, what a scam. What a giant scam. And I didn't see it coming. I thought, oh man, I thought, honestly thought since Trump did the vaccine, this is where I was wrong. Trump got the vaccine, was fast-tracking it, and then Biden won. I said, you want to see a vaccine disappear? Watch this thing go away. that baby is gone. Because they're going to be like, oh, that's a Trump vaccine. That one doesn't work. I thought for sure, even if they just had to come up with something a little bit different. Oh, I was oblivious to the ways of big pharma and government and control and what they could do with this. I didn't know the things they could take away from us if we didn't take the jab. Wow. Lesson learned. We've learned a lot, folks. And Retraction Watch says over 300 COVID-19 medical papers in various journals and colleges have now been retracted. Our final today is brought to you by the Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com, featuring the Flint series now with a 3-inch blade, satin finish, titanium clip. You can see them online at finchknifeco.com or visit Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. The Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan welcomes you and or your group. If you got a business group, something going on in Manhattan, they are revving it up. It's a conference destination now. All kinds of things. Department of Agriculture is relocated there. University upgrades and expansion, world-class golf, redevelopment, downtown. It's all right there at Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan. Reservations, just log on to BluemontHotel.com, or if you're in Manhattan, swing by Goolsby's there. Have yourself a cold beer, pour your own off the wall. They got 30 taps on the wall. You swipe a card and pour your own. How cool is that? It's all right at the Bluemont Hotel, the corner of Aggieville and Campus. And BStock.net. Our friends in Olathe at BStock remind you, just give them a call. Yeah, we talk about the website or driving out to see them all the time, but if you have questions, give BStock a call. Seriously, they're the geniuses on this stuff, not me. It's a local number, 913-800-1419. That's 913-800-1419. Say, listen, I got a question. I'm looking for this or this or this, and I've been on your website. There's a lot of stuff there. Can you get it? Do you have it? How much is it? BStock will hook you up. 14680 South Flaming Road. Our final is the Oakland A's, who are much worse than your Kansas City Royals, like way worse than the Kansas City Royals. The A's are 12-45, and nobody goes to their game. Like, nobody goes to their games. They're putting the final touches on striping the field, raking the dirt around home plate. This is, I don't know, 25 minutes before first pitch. Maybe closer than that. The players have warmed up. They've gone back in for a second. They're coming back out to start the game. I mean, you see this wide view. There can't be 500 people there at the A's game. Dude in a yellow shirt jumps the fence in short left field down the third baseline. Runs towards shortstop, steps on second base, runs to first, runs to home where two dudes are raking dirt, runs right through the dirt, steps on home plate, rounds home plate, and heads for third. Gets to third base and steps on it, and some security person is standing there, like on the field. This is not somebody that came running after him, and they put their open palms to the sky, arms out, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? The dude steps on third base, runs down the line a bit, goes exactly where he jumped on the field, goes back in, and they just let him be. Nobody stopped him. Nobody cared. Like, nothing. Have you ever heard of that at a baseball stadium? Nothing. Just happy to have you here. Come on out and run the bases anytime. Thanks for buying a ticket and coming to the game. That's what it looked like and felt like. Like, we got enough bad publicity here. We're not doing this. The A's are going to move. The A's are going to go to Vegas. They're going to have big crowds. There'll be a big deal. And part of the problem they have with their attendance right now is not just that they're terrible, but A's fans in the Bay Area that have loved the A's for years, they know they're moving. They know they're losing their team. And so that's that. Oakland A's, sad sack A's. The Royals would have a 5.5 game lead on the A's. Royals are second worst. Royals are number 29. But the A's, the 12-45, that's historic. They're on their way to something maybe we've never seen before. Ridiculously bad. That's it for this episode of KKHI. Thank you so much, as always, for hitting that play button. Appreciate you hitting it and telling your friends about it. Maybe hit the like, follow, or subscribe button. Or if you'd like to join up as a patron, go to kkhasissues.com, click on Become a Patron. You can join in less than 3 minutes, and we'll have a patron podcast up on this Wednesday. We do the newsletter every weekend, and we'll hope you'll join at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.